Hello, my dear, sweet supporters. We're back for another wonderful week. I missed you guys. I hope you missed me, too. Welcome back to the globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. Again, I always want to remind you guys that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussions grounded in faith and honor of our Father. So with that said, today I am going to have another full transparency moment with all of you ladies and gentlemen. And you guys get these little seeds of transparency moments with me from here and there throughout the podcast weekly post, but today I'm deep diving because I finally feel like it's time. You know, Amen. We go through these different stages in life, right? Where we're experiencing things, we're experiencing things, and it's not so much that we're afraid to articulate it, but you haven't fully comprehended everything that's being thrown at you to then regurgitate it out in a manner that's received and understood. And it was important for me to kind of piece together my own puzzle along with other people that shared their stories with me throughout these past few months with you guys to finally feel comfortable in sharing what has happened with me.
So anyway, you had to grow.
I had to grow. And, you know, I want to thank Brother Thomas. He's here with us today. Brother Thomas is here to morally support me on this.
Amen.
This healing journey that I'm
a big brother.
On.
I'm
a big brother. And, you know, Brother Thomas has always encouraged me to tell my story and to share with the world what has transpired, and hopefully it can inspire others. It has been inspiring other women who have come forward to me already with similar stories, but I haven't publicly shared with everyone everything. And so when I say it has inspired, I share bits and pieces, and out of those bits and pieces, other women came to me and said, oh, my gosh, I experienced that, too. But I haven't really said, this is why. This is how it began. This is how it ended. And this is what I'm going. So I'm going to share that with you guys today. But before I start, I want to thank a very, very kind supporter of our podcast, Mr. George Nesbitt, who encouraged me this week. Thank you, sir. I laugh because whenever I call him sir, he says, don't be so formal, Jewel. I'm your brother in Christ.
Nice.
You surely are.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me that just this past week, you know, Jewel, with all you do for the ministry, sister, you really have to allow us to help you and to tell us what's going on with you. And those of you that know me very well, including Brother Thomas, know that I do struggle with asking for help. That's my vice. And so he encouraged me this week to speak up, and in doing so, also asking you guys to help in any way you can with my journey. So I'm going to ask Brother Thomas to read Psalm 105, 1 through 15, that I found to motivate me to tell my story. So, Brother Thomas, can you read that for us right now?
I certainly will. Yeah, I'm ready. So it's Psalm 105, and it's called, entitled, The Lord's Wonderful Works in Behalf of Israel. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. This sounds like a song I remember. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, the covenant which he had made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were all a few men in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from the nation to nation, from one kingdom to another peoples, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm.
Thank you, Angel. Brother Thomas. And I had him stop right there with purpose intended. Now, I want to share with you all some background information so you have some clarity with what's been going on with me today. Right? I want to start by saying, you know, family secrets can really impact generations with curses that need to be broken via true and spiritual warfare. Right?
Yeah.
So, several years ago, someone very close to me passed away. It was my grandmother, and she raised me as her own daughter for the first 7 to 8 of my formative years. And I'm sure you're wondering why that is, and that's a very good question. A question, unfortunately, that I cannot answer because it wasn't even...
Not yet, but soon.
Not yet, at least. It wasn't. It hasn't been answered to me or shared with me. I'm still finding out bits and pieces, and but I can tell you this: there was much hidden from me surrounding the why, but the devil is surely in the details. Wouldn't you agree? Always in the details.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Following her passing, there was a huge shift in my family in terms of loyalty and relationships, and for many families, that's not really surprising. There's many grandparents that are especially rooted in faith, in scripture, often hold families together, like almost like a glue. And then when
mm-hmm.
they move on, if it didn't stick, then lots of times the one that it has stuck with may become the black sheep of the family and may not relate to others that have become worldly and want to do worldly things, and they've lost that kind of grounding that was instilled with the group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in my case, it's much deeper and far much more sinister than her mere absence being an issue, which I have come to find out why down the road. You see, sometimes when family members when they pass on, they leave certain individuals items, inheritance, trust funds. And when it comes to grandchildren, we rely heavily on our parents and executors of the wills to be transparent and share what belongs to us, right?
Yeah.
So, well, let's just say if there is a will, there is a way, the devil will find a way to steal, kill, and destroy, especially if there is much at stake.
Yes.
Needless to say, 5 years ago, I get a strange call from a really good friend of mine to this day. But I must tell you, when I met this person, I darn near thought this person was crazy, especially because I was dealing with so much at the time, right, when they called me. I just became a single mom of 3 boys. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with gang stalking, which I just, you know, at that time learned what it was. I was like, what is all of this?
Mm-hmm.
I was dealing with unprovoked harassment from neighbors.
Right.
Noise campaigns, spiritual warfare attacks, hacking up my accounts, both financial and just email accounts were being hacked all at once.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, just to name a few of what was put on me. And then this person calls me after the enemy throws everything in a can of paint at me all at once. And I had no idea
Love
why.
The analogy, can of paint.
I had no
Love
idea
it.
Why, what, or whom was at the root of this calamity, right? But mm-hmm. the gentleman reached out to me and said, I'll never forget this. His exact words were, ma'am, I don't know you, but the Lord sent me here to help you.
Wow.
Now, you know, I looked around and thought, what in the prank?
What's his angle? What's his angle?
What is this mm-hmm. guy's angle? What are you talking about? You know, like, I'm already dealing with so much. Are you part of their crew? Like, what is this, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hopefully, if it was a prank, I was hoping that it would end here and now everything could be wrapped up when I could go back to business as usual. Anyway.
Right.
But anyway, little did I know, this was just the climax of what was about to occur. But I say that to say, I said to him, sir, how exactly can you help me? And he said, well, I'm not sure how to tell you this, but wait for it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure how to tell you this, but your family is trying to kill you or have you locked up. And
That's
there's
heavy.
A lot of money on your head.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately replied, I know you're crazy now. I know you're crazy.
Said, I ain't had no money, and I sure ain't going to get no money.
I don't have anything for them to take. I'm a single mom. I just, you know, only came here with three bags of my kids' clothes. And
wow.
Sorry, I'll touch on it a little later. But, you know, I really thought this guy was crazy. And he says, no, ma'am, I'm not crazy. I'm spiritually gifted. And I said, what? He said, yes, this may be difficult for you to hear or accept, but God told me to help you. And the people you are trusting are setting you up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I told him thank you for the information, but no thanks. I don't need your help, sir. And just as I was about
your
to
Your antenna
say
came
help,
out then, didn't they, Jewel? The antenna came out, didn't
it,
they?
It did. It did. Just as I was about to hang up on this old lad, he gave me a prophecy. Well, I guess that's why the Lord says we need to test the spirit, because when it came to pass, I called him back. And I asked him, how did you know that? Of course, right? That would be anybody's question. How did you know that was going to happen? And who are you working with exactly?
Right.
And he said to me, ma'am, I know God. That's who I work with. So I chatted with him a little bit more and shared with him all that has happened to me within the past few months.
You opened up to him.
I opened up and I shared with him, you know, how I can't seem to get any police reports taken from the police.
Right.
And, you know, my property's getting damaged. My mail is getting stolen. All of my packages, you know, some type of foul stink bomb is being thrown in front of my door daily by some neighbors that I didn't even provoke. I don't know what's going on, but this is all just happening out of the blue. And it even seems like my landlord is in cahoots with this mess because they, too, are not assisting. And they're having maintenance workers into my home when I'm not here, installing things and then damaging items in my home. You know, and the gentleman, you know, he laughed, which I must say I found very annoying at the time. And he says, you need to get out of there. I said, excuse me? I just exited a really toxic relationship not too long ago from my ex, and I just only took 3 bags of my belongings. He took everything else, and I just arrived here for safety. And he laughed again and said, well, ma'am, you're definitely not safe there. You need to leave. I was so overwhelmed, Brother Thomas, with the thought, the idea, the notion of leaving again. You know,
of course.
It took a lot out of me to leave that relationship, right? And then to be told, you need to get
and
up.
And taking on the burden of three
life.
Boys on your own. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to help? What's going to happen? Where to go? Who do I trust, right?
Right.
So
who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Who
mind,
do you turn to?
Right?
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
You know, by this time, my ex, who I had left in another state, had now just relocated to the state where I was. And
dun.
Just a few blocks away. And he had just attempted to assault me and harassed me with all kinds of verbal attacks. You know, looking back, I really relied on faith when I decided enough was enough and I had enough. And I chose peace and I chose myself and I chose my kids. And so I did it, guys. I said I took my ex off child support. I wanted to just keep the peace. I didn't want any argument. I just wanted to get away where I can figure out what in the world was going on. Why am I being attacked on this level? And by whom?
Right.
Who's the catalyst? So I relocated again. Once again, with three bags, three children. That's all I had. And I thought to myself at that time, well, I'm going to pay a moving company to pick up the rest of my things, but I'll just need to kind of get established where I am, and then in a few weeks, they'll, you know, I had my bags packed. They'll pick up the bags. I've already spoken with them, and they would bring it to me, right? Well, sounded good, but
plans went awry.
Here's where plans went awry, right? A certain family member, let's say, they had my mom at the time 302'd. Those of you who don't know what 302'd is, that means she was involuntarily placed in a mental institution after visiting one of her family members for what she thought was going to be a vacation. Well,
it was a vacation, all right. Three squares a day, right?
Oh, my goodness. Woo. Then the same family member told me that they were going to take over her apartment. Where I was previously staying. They were going to take over her apartment, and if I didn't immediately move my things out, they would discard it. So clearly you guys could see at this point, we're not following any laws, right? We're just doing whatever we want to do. And it's like I was, like, in a different world, different matrix. Like, I'm like, okay, my mom's in a mental institution. You're taking over her place. You're taking over my property. You're just doing whatever you want lawlessly, and there's nothing I can do. I don't have any, like, time legally to get my things, nothing.
Right.
I, of course. As a mom of three, like, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, it's happening again. These, you know, I felt like I was kind of being forced into, like, a poverty kind of situation again.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking back. Needless to say, they stole everything of mine, including my wedding ring. And not once did they ever ask me, how are you doing? How is your mom doing? And that's always kind of stuck with me because, you know, I couldn't fathom how anyone could put someone in a mental institution and then don't even ask their child. I'm her only child, at least I believe I am. But, and the reason why I say that is because they put down on her report that she has no next of kin, which made it very difficult. For me to find out any information where she was. They didn't want to release any information to me. And it was a really overwhelming situation, to say the least, how they just pounced. And I didn't know what to do. And I sure enough called the same friend back and told him everything that happened and told him how overwhelmed I am and told him I did, you know, managed to move, and I was feeling at peace where I was. No one knew where I was, and I just started to have some peace that pastor's understanding, I wasn't being harassed, I wasn't being gang-stalked, but then this happened with my mom. And he advised me, do not go where she's at. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's like the hardest thing to tell an only child at that, because I'm a very loyal person.
You're protective. Protective of her.
I'm very protective, yes. And it was just emotional to get that advice and to reflect on it. And he said, listen, I can tell that that's going to be very difficult for you, but I need you to be still. Be still. Mm-hmm. And I want you to pay close attention to what your family's saying and doing,
mm-hmm.
and don't react off of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real test of my faith, Brother Thomas, because,
I'm sure.
You know, as I've grown, I've always been an emotional kind of responder, right? And I've had to learn how to embrace a more kind of a masculine side, which is
To step out of yourself.
I had to step out of myself and really analyze and think, right? Especially to protect my kids. I couldn't just react and like, oh, I got to save the day.
Right,
and
Mama Bear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I slowed down and I just started thinking like, it is odd how they just stole all my things and wouldn't let me retrieve it. They stole even my mail, and this could possibly be a setup. Let me just kind of fall back and be still a little bit and analyze. And I said, you know, it's funny. I told the gentleman, it's funny. My mom also told me that whatever I do not come there where they're putting her. And I didn't know whether to trust what she was saying, if she was saying it in fear, because she also said some other stuff, which I didn't know what that was about. And she said, you know, this is a lot deeper than it appears. It involves fraternal orders, CIA, and FBI. And so that, too, took me for a loop. Like, what would all that have to do with me, let alone me? Like, I don't know. You know.
Simple, yeah. Simple duel.
I processed some loans last month for the SBA. I mean, I don't think it would require that kind of backing, but I didn't know what to believe. But I said, you know what, if she's telling me not to come there and he's saying the same thing and I'm seeing all of this craziness from my family, maybe I need to be still and protect my kids right now. And I said, you know, of course, when I was talking to him, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm about to start all over again. I just, my things were taken by my ex years ago, all of my property, and I just started all over again 5 years ago, and now they're going to take all of my things again. And the gentleman said to me, let it go. If they're going to steal it, they're going to steal it either way. You have to put your faith in God, and you have to look forward. And so this was another, like, trying time in my life where I was like, this mm-hmm. is surreal. I cannot believe I'm going through this.
Mm-hmm. How much can you deal with, right? How much can you deal with?
Mm-hmm. How much? Even my kids were wondering, like, all of their toys, and it was just over again. And they, too, had to learn at an early age about life and about family and about inheritance and things of that nature and poverty. And so, you know, I did just that, and I just kept looking forward. I knew that they were going to pillage through all my stuff. I knew they were going to sell it. I knew they were going to tell lies and try to justify it and didn't do anything legally. And they did what they did, and I had to just accept that, right? But then because this gets really emotional as I think back to this whole situation. And I did what he said, and I forgot about my things. focused on God. Yeah. And then I started receiving these threatening phone calls from these same family members, one in particular that's part of a fraternal order, and started threatening me, advising me that I didn't know who I was messing with.
Wow.
I remained silent. I let them text me and you know, kept all of the texts and all of the threats, and I refused to respond. And I still kind of was hoping that he would at some point catch himself and ask me, how are you coming to terms with your mom being sick and or your mom being placed in this involuntary institution while she was on vacation? And that just never seemed to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I then refocused my attention to the fact that, okay, if I am not going to go to this place where they 302'd her, keep in mind, she was taken from a local hospital where she was with my family member to a hospital 3 hours away from them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she was left pretty isolated. And I didn't know what connections, how they were doing this, what was going on. And I was contacting lawyers and cops and even emailing politicians to get to the bottom of how can this happen? How can you go on vacation and be 302'd? And,
yes,
you know, your next of kin has no authority. No, they don't even listen to a word I had to say. It was just an insane.
Well, you were not considered next of kin. Remember that.
That is true. That is true. They did write down that she didn't have.
You were an outside source. They didn't know who you were.
But that became a whole nother fight in and of itself. And at that time, the only good news that I did have was that I had peace for the very first time. So even though I was, you know, sad and felt like I didn't have anyone to help her and I wanted to help her, and, you know, I did acknowledge that for the very first time I had peace.
Peace in adversity. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes. But that was short-lived, and we'll get to that. But, you know, finally, a friend of mine placed me in contact with a psychiatric physician, which was a good friend of hers, and she assisted me. Many praises to her. She assisted me so much in speaking with them and speaking their language. And she came back to me, and she said to me, Joel, I don't know what's really going on here, but something is off. And, you know, your mom shouldn't have been held this long. She should have been released by now. Well, anyway, after she, you know, continued to apply pressure and tell them, you know, whatever laws they were breaking and who she would like to speak to, needless to say, they decided to release her within 3 days after that conversation.
Got too hot in the kitchen.
Yeah, that woman, she was cooking up something in that kitchen. Oh, she was
all righty.
And here's where things started to take a turn for the worst again, because they said, yeah, we can release her, but we need your address. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And at the time, you know, my mom didn't even have a place to go back to anyway. I literally was the only place she could come to now, because her family took over her place where she resided for 40 years. And so I was between a rock and a hard place, and I gave up my address.
You gave up your safe harbor.
I gave up my safe harbor. I gave up my peace. And within 2 weeks' time of releasing her to my home, it started all over again. The gang stalking, the noise campaigns, the vandalism, the police not taking my report seriously. And somehow, my ex even found out where I resided and began taunting me with Google screenshots of my home, which I kept as well. Anyway, I remained calm and really began to analyze what in the world is going on here. And I decided I wasn't going to run again. I was going to stand my ground. And I grew closer to the Lord and began to reassess certain comments and setups. And I realized that this friend of mine was correct.
Started putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
I started putting pieces of the puzzle together, and I'm like, this is stemming from my own family, people who I've grown up with. I thought I could trust. These people are creating all of this chaos around my life and bribing strangers, close friends, to come up against me. And then finally, my son shared with me something that literally made my stomach drop, which was a text message that he found from one family member to another advising the attempt to drug me. And I then recalled the conversation with that same family member who received the text, asking me a strange question about drugs. And I recall saying, why would you ask me such a ridiculous question? I'm the only parent my children has right now caring for them. Well, that is absurd. So needless to say, it was like that aha moment. Like I started realizing, oh, my gosh, these people were really trying to harm me, even if that meant putting drugs in my food or drink or whatever. This has gotten so out of control, right? And I became more vocal. I became more vocal about my story, and more women began flocking towards me with similar stories of what they were going through over their inheritance, over their stolen businesses. And we began piecing together common denominators. The same playbook was being used by the same fraternal order that assisted in this local corruption and bribery and just complete lawlessness all around us.
Like Dr. Nina. Dr. Nina.
Yes, Dr. Nina, who reached out to me and said, hey, I saw your post online, and oh, my goodness, it's identical to what I'm experiencing. I'm like, you want to tell your story on my podcast? And she's like, sure. And, you know, I gave her that form. I gave her that place where she could
voice
her truth.
You gave her the voice.
For the voiceless, you know. Needless to say, in doing so, my calling landed on me, much like Plymouth Rock. I had no idea that I would go out and help women and children to this extent because of my own situation of, of trying to survive being attacked led me to helping other women and children that are being attacked, you know? And so, you know, I just look back and I thank God for all that he's done and how he's brought me through this because, you know, this is a pure miracle, guys. There's so many women and children that did not survive what I survived. If they didn't,
and you could have very easily have succumbed to it. You could have very easily to have done that. But God stepped in.
Of course, because it's so much. It's so much between the gang stalking, the noise campaigns, and then it's spiritual warfare too, because what a lot of their fraternal secrets involve is spiritual attacks on how to spiritually attack other people as you don't realize. And so, to come out of this mentally sound is a miracle in itself, and it didn't stop there. I mean, they went at my life with poisoning as well as tampering with my vehicle. And I couldn't get anyone to take any police support to do anything to take this seriously. But anyway, I wanted to let you guys know that, you know, just a week after, I actually became courageous enough to call out my family's relations with the Freemasons. I was set up with a car accident. After leaving my son's eighth grade graduation, a young adult was riding one of those electronic scooters on the side of the road. And I noticed she had some sort of earpiece in her ear, and there was no bike lane. She was just on, you know, in the street on the side of the road. And so, of course, like I'm looking at her, you know, through my peripherals as I'm approaching her. And then when I was about maybe 3 feet away from her, she dots right in front of me into the, like, almost like if she was told, like, she's there. And she just, I mean, she didn't look. She just dot right in front of me. And I swerved. I mean, I swerved into another lane, which, by the grace of God, there was no
there wasn't anybody coming. Yeah.
Direction to avoid this young person. But it's like the more I'm swerving into the other lane, the faster she's going, really trying to get to the front of my vehicle. And I don't think she expected me to swerve. I think she probably expected me to hit my brakes. But I swerved so fast into that other lane because I didn't want to hit her. You know, I don't want to hit anyone.
Right. We had the kids in the car.
I had my kids in the car. I didn't want them to experience something traumatic like that. So I'm into the other lane all the way, and she just hits her gas, and shoots further. And she ends up hitting my side mirror and my door. But the goal was to get in front of my vehicle, which didn't happen. And I say that, the reason why I say that is because at that time, I was just still in, like, traumatized because I've never, you know, experienced anything like this. And I get out the car, and I'm kind of, like, analyzing the scene, right? My car is now in another lane completely. So I'm out of the car while it's in the other lane. And I left it there to go check on this individual. And the way things played out, it was very interesting because there was a guy that was right behind me who witnessed the whole thing, and he was, like, kind of shaken up, like, you know, kept saying, like, I can't believe she just shot into the street and didn't even look. And
at least you had a witness. That's a good thing.
Yes. That kept replaying in my mind, that he kept saying that. And he's like, I've never seen anything like that. And behind him happened to be a nurse that happened to be on site. And
coincidental, maybe. Ha ha.
Who knows? But she came out, and, you know, she was aiding the girl while she was laying in the middle of the street. And the girl said that she wanted to move from the street. She wanted to move to the sidewalk. And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think you should touch anything. I think she should wait for, you know, the ambulance, the police or whatever, because there could be, you know, other injuries or whatever. The nurse moved her out of the street despite my advice and brought her to the side of the road. You know, I waited there. I asked her if she had anyone that I can call for her. And the nurse took her phone and called who she said was her mother. Her mother came on the scene, and the first thing, her mother was literally about 5 minutes away. I don't know where she was, but she was 5 minutes away. Came, you know, she was screaming, and she says, you know, she's 18 years old. I usually never let her go outside, and she insisted on getting on this scooter, and she was outside, and, you know, I'm sorry, I was drinking. That's what she said to me. I'm sorry, I was drinking. And I said, it's okay, you know, that I explained to her what happened, that she shot into the street, and that's why I'm over, my car is parked over there in the other lane. And she's like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? But needless to say, they told me I had to wait for the highway patrolman to take the report, even though the local policeman showed up on the scene. And they came. They told me they're not, you know, going to issue me any violations because I didn't do anything wrong. I handled it the best I could. But needless to say, that happened over a month ago, and I do not have a finalized police report. And I need that finalized police report for several reasons. You know, basically, when I tried to get my, because of that incident,
3 days later, my car axle totally dismembered, right, which on the highway, which I spoke about briefly on another podcast, which is He Saved Me. And I don't believe that that little scooter could have caused a dismemberment of an entire axle assembly. If so, I think we need to get all scooters off the road immediately. But
amen.
I'll tell you this. The adjuster that came out to look at my vehicle says that they don't want to cover the damages because it looks like there was some type of work that was done underneath my car.
A foul play?
Foul play, vandalism. They don't know, you know, I didn't have any work done to this car. I just bought it 6 months ago. They said, yeah, well, we can see there's clearly some work that was done here. And so it kind of made me reflect and think about how many times I reported vandalism to the police and they turned a blind eye. And then 3 days after a scooter accident, there was a full-on attempt at my life with some work done at the bottom of my car.
Wow.
You know, my car is still sitting in the shop that I just got 6 months ago. And there's no accountability. I can't even take this person to small claims court, which, you know, essentially by default, they're saying that hit would have caused this kind of damage because I don't have that person's information. There was never a completed report, right?
Mm-hmm,
so this is
mm-hmm.
basically appears to be some type of setup for me and my kids to be carless. And I think that in of itself has kind of pushed me to, okay, it's time to start talking about what's happening here and sharing mm-hmm. with you guys what's been going on with me. So for an adjuster to say that to me, that I could have lost my life and I did everything I could as a civilian to be assertive, to raise the red flag, and let them know, you know, look at what's happening here. I'm being attacked. And what else can I do? Right? Because mm-hmm. we essentially pay your salary to protect us. How much evidence can I keep providing and showing you that I
right.
am being placed in this situation?
Right.
And so I want to share with all of you, my supporters, well, for one, me and my children are okay right now, but I'm still fighting this injustice, which is very much grounded in stolen and hidden inheritance. And if any of you can help, please feel free to help with one, either a very trusted attorney that can essentially not be bribed, and or that can assist in helping get my car repaired because I can't
yeah.
wait to get, you know, that done. So I would appreciate anyone that can chip in on that. And I don't usually like to ask for help, but I'm really, like, have been pushed, guys, as far as I can go with what's been going on with me and my family. So if you can, please, I put up a GoFundMe page. It's not just for my vehicle. It's also for people like Brother Thomas. A lot of my associates that have been working close with me are also being attacked by default. And I want to help them out because they're being pushed into poverty. And, you know, the thing is, when you attack people financially, right, the goal is
yeah.
is that they're so overwhelmed by not being able to pay their bills and trying to survive that they can't even afford an attorney or anyone that
right.
could possibly help them in situations like this. And so
yeah.
this is where, you know, we're trying to build up this nonprofit so that we can get some funds to actually support good people that are going through this every day. We would love to reach into a pot and say, we know exactly what you're dealing with. We know exactly how that order works.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to put you into poverty. They're trying to have you out on the street
yeah.
where no one will see your story. You won't get any help.
Yeah.
And
and you're just a thing of the past, you know? And
right.
And right now, we're calling a spade, and we're being a voice for the voiceless, and we had enough, you know? We're letting it be known that this is the playbook that has been used over and over again. And, you know, if this is the land of the free, then we should be free. We should not be held captive and placed into poverty
Amen.
By the particular groups that want to mm-hmm. steal, harm, and destroy innocent people and their lives, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm here to tell you my story. I hope it inspires more people to come forward and say, what has been done to them? How have they been pushed into
yeah.
a poverty situation or
yeah.
mindset and felt like there was no help around because,
right.
you know, the thing is, there's a lot of followers. There's more followers than leaders, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that to be boastful. When I was a young adult, I started a female step team largely because I didn't want to be part of a sorority.
Right.
The reason being...
You didn't like the social crowd.
You know, it wasn't just the social... I like social crowds because the team that I formed became very social. They became very well-known in the city and the state. And they were
yeah.
we were expected to be number one everywhere we performed. But the thing that I did not like was there were things that were being asked of people to do and, you know, to show their allegiance, their loyalty, or
yeah.
whatever it is, that conflicted with my spirituality and my belief in God.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like any group should come before God or compel me to
do
something.
There you go.
God
don't put those idols in front of you. Don't put that idol in front
yeah.
of you. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started my own thing, and it's still going to this day. And I share with you guys this to say that, you know, I may not have always been this strong in my walk, this adamant in my belief in God. And I've been pushed here, you know, without even knowing I was going to be placed here. But I'm here. And there was a part of me that was always there and on her way to being there, but I'm here now. And
mm-hmm.
I look back at the decisions I've made in my life, and I realize that we have to stand for something or we're going to fall for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's so many people that fall for anything just for clout, just to, you know, get quick money. They will be a part of
sell
things that are abominable. You know, they will
yeah.
sell their soul. They will sell their children. They will sell their wives.
Yeah.
They will sell their kids.
Yeah.
Just for money or something
yeah.
that's
that
not
golden
there.
Ring. That golden ring. Uh-huh.
And until we as a nation founded under God, stand up
mm-hmm.
and don't allow these groups, these individuals to feel like everyone
mm-hmm.
can be compromised for
yes.
The stake in the game.
Yeah.
We will continue to see people fall. And it's, this is
oh,
not
yeah.
funny to mess with people's mental health, to mess with
no.
people's lives. I was so thankful to God to come home to my children the day of that accident where they dismembered
Amen.
My vehicle.
Amen.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. This is real life for us that are going through it. And those of you that don't feel you don't have anywhere to turn to, you don't know who to talk to, we're here at Fundraising Cup. I'm here. Brother Thomas is here. Brother Thomas
yep.
is being attacked heavily financially for supporting women and children as well. And I can't give him enough praise, you know, for standing firm in his beliefs, even though they have been pushing at him to back off and not help women and children. He's been firm. Fundraising Cup has, you know, tried to build this platform for us to continue to be
mm-hmm.
a voice. And we urge you guys to please donate so we can allocate these funds to people like Brother Thomas, to myself, so that I can be able to take my kids where I need to take them. And,
right.
and you guys can show these people, these groups, that, that we're not going to stand for this, that, that,
right.
that there's much more to us than being bribed by stealing other people's assets.
Well, Jewel, if I might add something into it, just keep these people in mind saying there's safety in numbers, people, and it is the truth.
Yes.
So don't think you're out there alone. You're not. I know that's easy to say. It's an easy statement to say, you know, he just says that, but he don't know, he don't mean it. No. I do mean it. You know, when like Jewel comes to me and shares things with me and I turn around and I share things with her, then we realize we're on the same daggum level and that we're all being faced with these things. And if we would step forward and say, hey, you too and me too, and you know, like a Me Too movement, but in a different way. You know, I didn't like the Me Too movement, but this would be a Me Too movement, okay? That we'd be saying, yeah, me, you know, talk about me, you know?
Well,
and
let's
so,
not call it Me Too, because we don't want to get that.
No, we don't.
But,
what about YouTube? Can we do YouTube? How about YouTube?
YouTube. You survive too, right? So
Yahoo! YouTube. I like it. YouTube. Okay. Yeah.
And if you're too afraid to speak up, just hashtag you too, and I know you got a story to tell, and it'll just be between
Amen. You. Amen. That's the way to do it. Yes, a code word. Woohoo! Yes, I like it. You too. Yes. Yes. Amazing.
But, you know.
See what happens? I swear, God gives us avenues. He does.
Yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely. And I just want to thank you guys for listening to my testimony today. I really do. As you can see, I don't usually get emotional on podcasts, but when I think about everything I've been through, and thank God I don't look like what I've been through, because I know some of you are probably like, you've been through all of that. And yes, I have.
You still get up in the morning?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, people, trust me. She has to get up early in the morning. She has to take care of them little ones. I mean, they insist on breakfast at a certain amount of time, and they insist on playtime, and they insist on mama time, and, yeah, mama, I don't have no time. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I just want to, you know, leave you guys with some takeaway lessons that I have learned from this, and I hope that it helps you guys in your journey. And one of which I want you guys to know is you have to take people for who they are when they show you the first time. Because I know I have a very forgiving spirit, and it almost became the death of me and my demise. And people show you who they are, that they don't value, that they will sacrifice you or whatever for money, you have to accept that and go your separate ways and ask questions later, okay? So that's the first thing. Secondly, if you are a light, or maybe they consider you a black sheep for being a light and being a leader and always guiding others to righteousness, remember that light, darkness have nothing in common. As a matter of fact, you as a light will irritate someone's dark demons, right?
Yes.
But there's nothing, like, I know some people will sit there and like, I can't figure out what I did to these people. There may not be anything. You've, in fact, done.
Right.
Just be a light in their life.
Well, Jewel, if you remember one of the things that they described about Jesus, they said he was the light of the world.
He was the light of the world. And you saw what they did to him, so we can't be surprised if it's done to any of us that are following in his footsteps.
Exactly.
So
persecution is the name of the game, persecution.
If you're being persecuted, please understand that you didn't have to do anything to these devils. A lot of people just want things quick, fast, in a hurry, and the greed of it all is what drives the beast.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be you. And last but not least, if they can't battle you physically, they will, in fact, battle you spiritually. And that's even if they have to pay someone or pay or so, you know, you really at this time have to be grounded and rooted in your faith and belief in God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your mind will be
absorbed.
Right. And
well, another thing, Jewel, another thing, too, they're saying this day and time, we need to, and it's a famous, you know, saying, keep your head on a swivel.
There you go. And, you know, those are the main things I want to leave with you guys from my experience. And the last but not least is really the homage that I want to pay to my grandparents. You know, I really hope that I have, in a very small way, lived up to your legacy. And even though I've gone through all of this and you know, certain family members did not want me to have what it is that they wanted me to have.
In spite of all of it, you've kept your head up high, hon.
Yes.
You know, and the reason why that has happened is because of Jesus. You know, he basically, if you started having your, and I can picture this, literally, people, when she got so down bad, she would almost droop her whole chin down, you know? And so God basically lifted up her chin and said, look up at the light, you know? And so that's it. And that's what we need to be focused on is when we think we're down and despair and all these kind of things, if we just simply, you know, let God just lift that chin up, you know, and bring us back to the light, it's such a different feeling.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I was blessed to have grandparents that loved me and felt that I would continue their spiritual legacy as being a believer in the Most High God and putting God first over any organization, any group, individuals. And I want to thank them for giving me that foundation. I know you're listening up above, and I will continue to be a voice for the voiceless and help those that are going through and speak courageously and continue to protect those that can't seem to find protection on this earth.
Right.
So,
the Good Samaritan.
And a special thanks to Brother Thomas, pastor, the founder of fundraisinghub.org. I shouted out Brother Nesbitt and a few other brothers that had been so supportive to me as I'm going through this. You know, good people are hard to find. And when you do, what if they're far and few in between, but God has placed me in contact with some really, really great men of Christ, and I don't take that lightly, because I definitely needed a force behind me as a woman with children. You know, I could have easily just bowed out and given up, and they just stepped up, and they pushed me and said, no, you're not going to do this. You're going to speak firmly. You're going to stand in your authority. And that's what I did. I want to thank you guys so much. The rest of you, even if you want to donate anonymously, because, you know, it's that group, I understand, you know, a lot of people may not feel as comfortable going, you know, I don't want to say going up against that organization, but them thinking that you are, because clearly there have been retaliatory actions. You can donate anonymously to the GoFundMe link, and you know, just be a silent supporter of God's work.
Yeah,
is what I have to say. Tom, is there anything you want to close out with?
Well, I just want to say, people, this is an aha moment actually for Jewel, and I'm glad it finally came to this. Me and God have been struggling with this one, trying to get her to open up and see, you know, what it really needs to be. And so, somebody, Uncle Mike, and I don't know if you know who he is, but basically he talks to the people who are the chosen ones, and he says this. He says, this is the summer of assertion. So Jewel has now asserted herself, and so she's not going to go backwards. You know, once you step over that line, you know, the commitment's there, and that's what God is simply wanting. He's wanting us to, it all has to do with, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. You know, we have a mission in life, and the mission is, you know, don't forsake your fellow man. Don't, you know, turn your back on these people because, you know, who else is going to help them? And if you see that they're struggling, you need to step in because you might be in that position someday yourself. You know? And let me tell you something. It's very difficult in this day and time, and it's going to get a whole lot worse, people. I'm telling you. The times are not in our favor. No, 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 no. And I'm telling you, things are going to get a whole lot tougher. So if we don't gather around each other in our faith, be grounded in our faith, and then fight off this evilness that's always on the attack, this is going to be a very tough time. But God is always there. He's the light at the end of the tunnel. He is the light, you know, that wants to erase the darkness, okay? So that light will just shine in brighter and brighter and brighter. And when you think of that, think of a flashlight with a spotlight. So you go into a dark room, okay? You can't see nothing, right? You flick on the switch of the flashlight. What can you see? I mean, you see things like little critters that kind of scatter, and you're going, oh, okay, I didn't realize they were there. But then also you're looking at the demons that might be hurt, you know, lurking in the shadows. And so this light of mine, we will let it shine. Remember, that's a song, a little kid's song. This little light of mine, I will let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That was my tip as a little girl.
Yes, yes. And it's the truth, people. These children's songs that we grew up with are such valuable, Jewel says this, nuggets, and they are, and we don't need to forget them. And so when we think of these things and we realize what Christ did when he came on board, he was that light. He was, and he showed us the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh through the Father except through me. So remember these things. Don't think that you're out there alone. You are not. There is safety in those numbers, and people need to feel that there's safety in numbers. Oh, my God. You try to handle this on your own? I don't know how these people who are unsaved are going to go through it, Jewel. I don't. I mean, they're so materialistic.
If you don't have God supporting you, and that's why I want to bring it back to what Brother Thomas read earlier in the scripture, where I had him stop at, touch not my anointed.
Yes.
We need to be so grounded in him that we cannot be touched, that we cannot be, shaken easily. And, you know, this is the season, guys, that you will be tested. And,
the season of Job.
Take the wisdom. Take the wisdom from the scripture and what we're sharing with you, so that you're prepared when the attacks come. And they use the same playbooks. So this is what's going on. I will continue to share how my story unfolds. But in the meantime, I want to say God bless you all and thank you for supporting me and Brother Thomas.
Amen.
And joining again. A special thanks to FundraisingCup.org Ministries for sponsoring us. If you wish to make a donation, you can contact the charity at 615-205-5657. Your support would be greatly appreciated. Again, you can also use the new link that I published for GoFundMe to help individuals like myself and Brother Thomas. Also, you guys know that I'm still doing the travel business, so reach out to me to book your next vacation.
Side business, yeah.
Yes, okay.
So Jewel, and I'm going to throw you on the spot here, were there any comments from the podcast from the previous week or no?
I haven't received any comments. I mean, I've been, more and more people have.
Well, that one guy said, you know, he gave you encouragement, you know, so I guess he's a follower of yours.
Yeah.
So maybe you could throw out a kudos to him because, you know, he gave you those words. And again, people, it's just people talking to people. And, you know, he gave her words of encouragement that she didn't realize that she needed, you know. We all have this protective coating around us, and we think that we're impenetrable. No, we're not.
And so if we can have somebody else that kind of comes along and kind of helps us along the way, I mean, it makes our day so much better. So that's what this man, this gentleman did. And, you know, it's amazing that somebody, just out, you know, somebody saying some simple little thing will just, you know, pique our interest and change our whole viewpoint. And again, I'm going to throw that back to Jesus. What did he do? He came into this world not as a royal ambassador. He was not someone who was a kingly saint. No, he was a simple man. His father was
Amen.
A simple carpenter, And so he
Amen.
Flocked to those that are simple. And people, we are all simple. We are. In the face of all these things, we're simple. And so what better person to have in your court, in as your advocate, than Jesus? Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. So again, like Brother Thomas said, shout out to you, Brother Nesbitt. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the podcast. The floor is open. You're welcome to share your testimony as well. And that goes to anybody, anyone that has a story to tell, that whether they survived or how the fasting we do every week, if that's helped you in any way, please feel free to share. That's what we're here for,
yes.
to inspire others. So all of you, I want to thank you for tuning in again at, this week for this amazing, amazing testimony of mine.
It was very good. It was very good.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Thomas. And I hope to hear from all of you guys. And I will continue to share more, you know, as we grow. I'll let you know what's going on with me. You know, as my grandmother used to say all the time, life's fair. She's always say that I'll be there, life's fair. I'll tell my story if God basically spares my life.
Wow.
Much respect and love to her. Oh, I miss her so
Amen.
Much. But
I'm sure she's smiling down at you, Jewel. She is.
I hope so. She had the most amazing smile, and she was so loving and embracing.
Mm-hmm.
So until we chat again, I want to thank you guys again and thank Brother Thomas for being here and supporting me on my
Glad
journey.
Glad to.
Okay. Take care,
All right,
guys.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.